Hi, I'm Dr. John Lakey.
And I'm Dr. Payman Danielport. We're board-certified plastic surgeons and hosts of the podcast Forever Young.
Join us every Tuesday as we share the latest products and procedures in the never-ending quest to help our patients look and feel their very best.
The world of cosmetic surgery is constantly improving. Join us on the cutting edge. Forever Young is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Help Me Be Me. I'm your host, Sarah Mae Bates. I'm a writer, director, mom, and a breakup coach with an MAMFT. And this podcast is kind of like a personal relationship in that I talk to you like you're my friend. I provide tools to help you feel more grounded, empowered, inspired, and most of all, help you see yourself. This is aimed at creating more harmony and happiness in the relationship you have with you, so you can better guide your life and also be better to those you love. Take what helps and leave the rest. This is not a diagnosis for treatment. If you're really struggling, call your local emergency services. Hi friends, it's Sarah Mae Bates. This is an episode of Help Me Be Me. And this is an episode I'm calling Wonderful Magical. I'll probably rewrite that, but it's really for living from the energy of love and also loving what is. And it's really about being able to embody the perspective that is love and being able to use that to move the energy around us. And by that, I mean, like, we can light people up. We can light up the world. We can be lit up ourselves. This is how we are the smartest, the most rational, the most effective, the most fluent, the most capable, creative when we're in that space. And a lot of that, getting to that place, is also about boundaries. It's really about having like the container in your life to be able to be safe enough to be in that energetic space. So I'm going to be talking about those two things. They feel like they're in opposition, but they're not really, if you think about it. How do we get to the energy of wholeness and fullness? We have to tune it. And we also have to shore up what I would call like the boat holes, like the leaks in our boat. And that's where the boundaries come in. And what I mean by boundaries is not allowing in treatment from others or putting your head, you know, on the ground under someone else's foot or another thing's foot. And by that, I mean like being very conscious and deliberate in how we design a life that is conducive to love and peace. And another way to describe that is just loving what is, which I think is kind of, I think that might be one of the names of Byron Katie's books, but it is a great way to say it because it's exactly what it is like. It's really just fully embracing and welcoming the truth of what is in your life, in your body, in your soul. And a lot of that language can be confusing, like loving what is. It's kind of an amorphous, like, huh? It's like a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm going to go into that in more depth in this episode. And what I'm hoping you will take away from this is really just, I think, a more tuned energy yourself and a more tuned perspective on what you create in your life. Because the way we conduct ourselves energetically also has a massive, massive impact on how others see themselves and experience themselves. So anyone that you touch in your life, anyone you interact with in your life, you can affect them for the better if you are able to tune this in yourself. So I think this episode is about really becoming conscious in our use of our power and our energy, because we all have a great impact whether we think we do or not. So with that, there are three parts: the what, the why, and the how, the tools. Part one, the what. Having a loving mindset. What does that mean? I mean being rational and complete, having that inner sense of safety, because from here we can feel like we are not less than, we don't feel put upon, we don't feel attacked, belittled, we don't take things personally. And when we are not coming from any sense of lack, this is where things don't land. Like negativity doesn't get stuck because nothing is at us. And when you conduct your whole life from that perspective, it's like all of these would-be fights or would-be conflicts evaporate. So when we are in this, what I would call love energy, we are the most creative and the most wise. So the question becomes, how do we deliberately curate this state in our lives? I recently read this, one of Pam Grout's newsletters. If you don't know Pam Grout, Google her immediately, buy all of her books, I love her. But one of her newsletters, she mentioned that Albert Einstein is known for a quote that it is the most important factor is whether or not you believe the universe is benevolent or not. Something to that effect. It's like that is the most important factor in your life is whether or not you think the energy is kind or not of the universe. And I think that that is in some ways the most important question to ask yourself is, do you feel like everything in your life right now is happening for you or at you? Like is everything kind of in some way, are you defaulting to this is all because of something good? This is all going to lead somewhere good. Another way to frame this is, are you on the back foot? Are you energetically in the state of reacting, trying to catch up, trying to keep up, responding to everything in your life? Or do you feel that you are springing forward? You're on the front foot. You are acting. You are seeking out. You are deciding. You are empowered. You are curating. And just maybe scan for that, those two scenarios, and just see, like, have I gotten a little bit on the back foot lately in my energy? This is just a moment to slowly just start to shift in a different direction. We all have these little moments of correction where we can change the absolute course of everything else in our day. So that's my what. Part two, the why. Why is this mindset something that we can create via boundaries? Well, I think we have to recognize what supports the energy of safety and feeling like we have efficacy in our lives, and really becoming deliberate in how we create that structure, that routine in our day-to-day lives. Like it becomes a practical thing. I think often we have one habit that destroys our ability to create that sense of love, that energy of love in our life. Or we have one, like I would call like boat hole, one source of toxicity in our lives. And that creates all of the other instability. And it could be that simple as one thing. For me, it was like I had the inability to regulate my emotions. That was like a cornerstone habit or a cornerstone condition that created so many more problems in my life for years and years and years. Just the inability to regulate my emotions, I was constantly self-soothing. And that need to self-soothe, to numb, created imbalances in weight, imbalances in what I was putting into my body. It created, because of that, so many other effects of being in circumstances where I'm, you know, numbing myself with substances. Like, that was the one thing I needed to tweak for all of those problems to go away. It's like, I need to be able to regulate my emotions in a way that's healthy. And that was one cornerstone habit that made me constantly in a state of reaction because I felt powerless. I was constantly trying to figure out other methods of creating safety in all of these other areas of my life. And I ended up fixing that one cornerstone symptom with therapy. And it was 5 concentrated years of therapy, 4, maybe 5. But, you know, that was, it changed everything. Then once you're able to regulate, then you can, it's like all these other things evaporated. The other thing that created my inability to have like a safe safety energy or a loving energy in my life was just having toxic relationships. And those toxic relationships were the result of an unseen sense of low self-worth. But one toxic relationship in your life can create 1,000% of the drama, stress, anger, negativity, all of the emotions could just bleed into everything else in your life. So everything else in your life could be completely positive, functional, great, and one toxic relationship can just infect all of that. So this episode kind of came about because I had a conversation recently with a group of people who asked, who all had somewhat of some drama in their lives. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't have that in my life because I have designed a life that supports me. It's very balanced in all of the houses, in all of the spheres that are meaningful to contributing to my sense of identity. They are all balanced. And that is by design. And it is something that has been honed over a long period of time. And one factor, I think, is just noticing the boat holes, like noticing, oh, this thing doesn't match, this thing doesn't match, this thing doesn't match, and this thing doesn't fit. So now I am on the front foot. I'm pushing off towards things I want versus on the back foot catching up. And I believe for most people that stress and pain and anxiety can come from one habit, one symptom, one source. And I'm not discounting all of the cultural circumstances that contribute to that or maintain those symptoms. Those are all true and powerful and real. Things like oppression, poverty, all of those are definite creators of systemic strife. And they are a large part of the pain because they create conditions where toxic factors thrive. So outside of things that are completely out of your control, I do want to offer up just as an exercise, just to reflect on if there is a figure, a relationship, whatever it is, one leak, if there's an environmental factor or a symptom in your life, one habit that is creating pain, toxicity in your life, I wanted to invite you to call it to consciousness. Scan for that thing. Is there one area in my life that is contributing the most, reinforcing low self-worth, contributing the most stress or anxiety or difficulty? Like if there were factors that were boat hole leaks, what would they be? And I ask you to call it to your consciousness because this is how, as my metaphor goes, this is how we make it into clay. This is how the thing is not just unconsciously driving us to feel we deserve it. It's out in front of us. It's something that's in my hands and it's in progress. Even if I'm not actively like squishing it into something, it's still in progress if it's out in front of you. It's something that is, even though you don't even know how, it is already beginning to be solved because you have externalized it. When we can recognize what is or see it on all sides, from this point, we can boundary it appropriately. And what do I mean by that? I'm going to go into that more, but I mean, this is how we start to draw whatever guardrails we need to around those objects. And it is possible for us to have things in our life. Let's say it's something that is not removable. Let's say it's your parents and you are underaged and you have to live in their house. That may be a circumstance that you cannot remove yourself from. However, once we know what we're dealing with, we know the source of toxicity, this is how we start to script out what the boundaries are on an emotional level, on a psychic level, that allow us to keep ourselves safe and protected, even despite this factor being a consistent in our lives. And I would say when you are boundarying your life properly, we are kept in a safe, distant way. We protect our own emotional selves in a container that is by our own design. It can be invisible to everybody else, but it can exist inside of us. And this is how we just do, I would call them like mental exercises to keep ourselves protected and honored at all stages of life. So if you are noticing that you have chaos or negative treatment in some particular area, I would say that is probably something that can be worked on and improved drastically via some boundary work. And I would invite you to dive more into that and really get into just the school of boundaries, for lack of a better term. This episode is not going to go super in depth on them. I do have other episodes that are all about boundaries, but we must be the ones to decide and then design our standard of living. And so if you are tolerating less than because you don't know what else to do, this is an opportunity. I want to pause and really invite you to hold out that object, whatever it is, of like less than something in your life, and see it in your hand. See it for what it is. Let this be something for us to improve upon, become conscious of, and improve upon. With that, next is part three, the how, the tools. But first, a brief word from our sponsors. This ad is quite literally one of my favorite products, AquaTrue. It is one of the best products I have ever tried. I'm not just saying that. It is delicious water. If you're like me, you probably don't trust the tap water. And this is one way that we can have safe, clean water. My kids love the taste of the water. They can actually tell that the water tastes different. Do you know that it removes 15 times more contaminants than an ordinary pitcher filter? And it is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. PFAS is found in almost 45% of US tap water. They have water purifiers to fit every type of home. They have installation-free countertop purifiers. They have high-capacity under-sink options. And they even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. The filters are also affordable and long-lasting, so you don't have to change them every 2 to 3 months. They last from 6 months to 2 years. And just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles. I can truly taste the difference compared with my old water filter. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter code HELPMEBEME at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use promo code HELPMEBEME. Another one of my favorite sponsors ever, Blue Land. This year, let's turn our resolutions into actions and make a difference by switching to Blue Land. Did you know that we're eating and drinking roughly a credit card's worth of plastic a week? And that is because plastics that are in our normal everyday products are ending up in our water supply. And that is generating hundreds of microplastics that we end up ingesting. So Blue Land is changing that. They're eliminating the need for single-use plastic in the products that we reach for the most. It's not about being just cleaner and greener and reducing plastic use. It's also a beautiful set of products that actually work. The refills in these products are just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription and buy in bulk for additional savings. They make cleaning sprays, hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, laundry tablets, and all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients that you feel good about. They smell amazing, and they are trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/helpmebeme. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/helpmebeme for 15% off. That's blueland.com/helpmebeme to get 15% off. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us wish we had more time. I mean, if I had an extra hour in the day, I would probably just sit outside and stare at trees. I mean, that's kind of what my brain would want more of. I think though, you know, the best way to get more out of your life is really to prioritize and think about what is most important to you and really just make that a priority. And therapy can help you find out the answer to that question, like, what do I want really, and how can I do more of it? If you've benefited from therapy, you know that it is one of the biggest game changers that you can have in your life. I personally have changed everything about my life via therapy, and it has helped me, get through so many difficult situations in my life, overcome different really challenging, disabling things in my life, but it's also just helped me really hear myself, know what was important to me. So if you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/helpmebeme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/helpmebeme. Long intro to this how. So these tools are aimed at what I would call conscious energy. Conscious in our co-creation of the world and our experience of it. And so that means just becoming aware of how we choose to enter into our lives and also how we use our energy in our interaction with others. Because this idea of living in a state of love is really for improving energy flow in ourselves and our rational thinking, but it's also a way to improve the world. Because from here, when we're all non-reactive, we don't take others personally. That is instantly removing so many chain reactions. It's just erasing, you know, so much negative energy from the world. Just that simple change in itself. And I just want to say it again, but it's this energy of feeling complete and self-loving and optimistic is how we are the most rational. It's how we are the most effective. And what I mean by this energy is quite literally when you feel like, I love the world. I love life. The people are amazing. Everything is great. Like for us to have that, embody that energy in our souls, in our being, from that place, it lights up everything around you. So I want to invite you, can we get a little bit more toward this energy together right now? Just as an exercise, as a thought exercise, I wanted you to imagine how, let's say there's a person in the room with you, a person that you have a lot of past with, for example, or I don't know, it can be anybody really, it doesn't even matter. But imagine yourself next to this other person and that you energetically feel complete trust and faith in them. And maybe let's say you just think of yourself next to this and how you would act toward them and how that would create how they see themselves, just how you respond to them. It's like, it's almost like how your energy changes when you know somebody has just won some big award or, you know, when you're around somebody that has just had a windfall of money or success in some way. It's like all of a sudden everybody's like excited for them or, you know, trying to make conversation with them. That energy of giving somebody like a positive everything, just your presence, your expression, the way that you offer things to them, the way that you start conversation with them, it can light up a person to be validated in that way. And it can change the entire course of not just the day, of their month and of their year, just to be seen and witnessed and experienced and treated with that kind of energy by somebody else. Just the way you ask them questions, how interested you are in them, how supportive in conversation you are with them. And if you haven't had an experience like this recently, what I'm saying might feel like hyperbolic, but it's not. Like if you witness it in a moment, in an isolated moment, how somebody lights up and feels valuable and important and seen and how all the ripple effects that it has, like then you can see like, oh fuck, that is so powerful. I had no idea how powerful I was in just the simple way I interact with people. Like I've had this experience several times where I'm like super energetically low and somebody random, like it's always happens to be a stranger that says something that's so kind and so validating, or I can't think of like the way to frame it. It's always something that so feels like it's so trivial, but that has changed in a simple instant, like my entire belief in the world. And I want you to always be aware of your own power to do that for anybody at any given time. And just be conscious of it. Be conscious. You're wielding this big, immense source of energy that is you. And be conscious of that. Use it for good in how you affect others, but also in how you affect, choose to view your own life and move through your own life. Like, am I in the right energy? How can I help it? And how can I restore it and tune it to what is going to really allow me to see the right version of this world? My grandma, as you know, if you listen to the show, I had like a good chunk of my adolescence where I was like a derelict. I had PTSD, so it was like, you know, I'm not like blaming myself for this, but I definitely did a lot of shady, stupid things that catalyzed more terribleness. And I wasn't a trustworthy person. I was like a pretty, you know, I was a drug addict. So I was like a kid that was just trying to survive and like not, you know, not go to jail. And I mean, I was just like a regular drug addict. Most drug addicts are just like, how do I get drugs? I just need more drugs. At this time in my life, though, my grandma always treated me like I was a completely good person. And everybody else in my life did not match this. Everyone treated me like I was not trustworthy because I had a pretty bad track record. But being in this one circumstance where I was treated as a very good person who had so much promise and was so smart and was always so smart no matter what, like to be seen in that light by somebody, I think has the ability to give them a tether back to themselves. It's like someone can still see the real you and you can pull that cord out of that cave. I'm not saying, hey, go trust people that are not trustworthy. I'm just saying in how you treat people, in how you respect their humanity, and how you refer to them from a place of love and compassion and not hate and blame has such a powerful healing effect. And I don't mean like put your head under their feet and allow them to step on you. That's where the boundaries come in. If you have a person in your life who is addicted to drugs, they are most likely not trustworthy and most likely cannot you know, be kept in your life in the same way. But when you are have a boundaried relationship with that person, you can still love them from that distance because you're no longer taking them personally. Instead, you are in your protected state of compassion and you're sending them love probably on a psychic level from a distance. But in that, in your ability to stay that way and stay loving, you have a greater ability to pull them out of wherever they are trapped. Because from here, it just becomes about them. It's no longer about you. It's just them on them. And you're like, I see you where you are. I care about you. I see your suffering. Got on a tangent about drugs there. Anyway, with that, here are some tools for kind of curating and maintaining that loving energy that I've been talking about. The first tool is called checking the energy. So I wanted to start by inviting you to come into in the quiet room that is your mind's eye. So let's, if you can right now, I invite you to close your eyes and just take one slow, even deep breath and hold it at the top. And now release it all the way out. And then let's do another slow, even deep breath all the way in. And hand over heart, we're gonna hold it for the count of four. And then release it. And this step is really just about becoming a little bit more in our bodies, a little bit more open, present, and aware. The next thing I want you to do, I'm holding a slice of lemon in my hand. I want to hand it to you. And now I want you to put it in your mouth and your teeth and bite into it. And this is just to remind you how powerful your thoughts are, and be very deliberate and selective with them as you move through your day. Just recognize I get to choose what it is I'm going to invest in, and then the rest of the thoughts that I'm not going to invest in are really just a practice of passing them, letting them float away, just like little clouds, little bubbles, blips in the sky. And also, I just want to invite you to become conscious of your own ability to affect others and really be deliberate with what you create throughout your day. Next in this checking the energy tool, I just wanted to invite you, you can reflect on this in your journal or in your mind right now. What is your inner script trending toward as of today? Like, where are you defaulting? Are you defaulting toward, fuck, everything's annoying, I can't catch up? What is the trend? Or are you defaulting toward the universe is loving? Oh, maybe this is happening because it's going to help me do XYZ. Oh, maybe this is happening because it means blank is going to happen. Never forget that flow, the importance of the flow, the current that we curate. It's happening outside of us. But if we start to get into the contracted, like I notice this when I don't sleep, I can get into that kind of like agitated energy of like, fuck everything. Like you, it's almost like an addictive feeling of like being angry at things and like, oh, reacting and like, you know, annoyance. As soon as I recognize this, I'm like, oh yeah. I'm going to create more of this if I don't jump the current. So if you are in that trend, imagine yourself jumping the current into one that is like, no. This is all good. This is happening for me. Let's just default, get our defaults in the right place. All right, the next tool, checking your boat systems. I'm handing you a lovely IKEA installation manual right now. It's 24 pages long and it's in another language and you can't read it very well. Just kidding. Now we can design it in a very simple way. This is going to be a very peaceful installation manual. But it's really about setting up. This is like a very oversimplified version of what I would invite you to do in the area of boundaries, but it's a great start on the boundaries. So let's look at the boat. Let's look at any boat holes that might exist in your life and figure out the step-by-step process for plugging them up, aka setting the boundaries. Step one, I have checked my boat. Now I see there is one major leak, and it is a relationship with a person who creates in my life a lot of drama. There's constant grief. There's constant anxiety. I constantly overthink all the interactions I have with this person. I very much care about this person, and they've been in my life such a long time, but I'm now recognizing, oh, this affects me emotionally in a very negative way. This person reminds me of all the things that I don't like and is not supportive of all the things I want more of in my life. Okay, that's our step one. If your inventory was something totally different, maybe it was like, oh, I have this habit of staying up at night and watching reality shows and I eat an entire bag of chips. That would be a different step one. Your boat hole would be, I have this reward center habit that I need to, that seems to be creating all of this other unhappiness in my life. This is this symptom that I need to pull out in front of me as my clay, whatever it is. All right, step one. Step two, now we have to set a boundary. What does that mean? Whether if it's a person, we have to remove access to ourselves in some shape or form. It can be in a way that is on an emotional psychic level where that other person doesn't even know that a change has been made. Or it can be a completely non-angry, non-hostile, loving, but neutral way. Depends on the personality of the person, and it depends on the circumstances of the situation. Let's just throw out some random ideas. if this person is known to be digging and prying and will never ever let go, and there's nothing you could possibly say to like explain this in a neutral kind way, you might have to use a deflection style where you're like, oh, it's because of this other thing, and like, oh, sorry, I can't talk. I can't, oh, like, look over there, look over there, look over there. I have this job that's so busy and I can't, whatever it is. If this person won't take no for an answer, you might have to just cold turkey, send them love, and then cut it off. Quite literally cut off access. Do not answer phone calls. Do not answer emails. Send them love in a neutral way and then cut it off just cold turkey, which is very stressful and terrifying. If this person is really toxic and or violent, don't do this by yourself. Consult a domestic violence hotline and make a formal plan. Don't do it suddenly. Make a very, very thorough plan for escaping this. And then if this is a symptom that's like a self-soothing habit or something that feels like it's out of your control, therapy, I think, is the next logical step for you. Or looking into the professional that will help you really like what I would call like frame fuck. That's my very crude term, is like just slowing it down and looking at all the like tiny individual interacting factors that are setting up the circumstances for this thing to happen. And then step three in this little manual we are going through is soothe the guilt. And that's specifically for a person. If you've had to cut out boundary a person in your life, I think a lot of the time when we don't have boundaries around a relationship, it's because some part of us feels like we are going to hurt them by protecting ourselves, or that their expectations are going to be disappointed in some way, and that is bad of us. Like, because they want this thing, I have to acquiesce. I have to accommodate them by hurting myself. That doesn't help either person, but that is like a weird old belief system that is oftentimes created by childhood experiences or our childhood roles. So step three, again, I said this is an oversimplification, but it really is to soothe the guilt and work on passing that feeling in your body. Because when we are loving to ourselves, we are actually loving to all people. We are being respectful of the truth. We are being respectful of them by honoring the truth. We are being respectful of ourselves by honoring the truth. So in that guilt soothing process, send them love on a psychic level. Another favorite Al-Anon saying, let go and let God. Just let go and let good. It's not about you. It just is. And when we cannot respect what is true for us, and what makes us functional and happy, we are actually doing a disservice to the world. We are not helping anyone. We're not being more loving or compassionate. What we are doing is really just lying. We are compromising. It's like you're choosing to not use part of your body. You're choosing to move through your life in a deliberately compromised fashion. And from that place, we're just, more than anything, we're denying what is, which is not it's almost like creating drag on the course of your life and your fulfillment in life. So from this place of just, we have become boundaried, we are protecting ourselves from harm, this is where we can send love to others. We can have a complete sense of safety and wholeness. And from here, we can have complete truthful compassion, because it's no longer like we're being burned or being hurt. We can just, it's not at us anymore, because it's not, we have not involved ourselves in their dysfunction. And from this place, we can really actually truly love someone. We can say, oh, I see how much you are struggling. I see how much you are hurting, and I don't take it personally. I send you love. All right. The next tool, living from a boundaried design. What does that even look like? I think of when you design the container that is your physical space, you pick out, you know, finishes, you pick out like the paint colors, all of those things. Same goes for just the structure and routine of your day-to-day life. Like, does your life look like a consistent picture of your values? Like, are your values, your true values, reflected in all houses of your life? So this is a journal exercise for you, just to really look at all of the houses. And I'm going to offer you up what I think are the houses. If you have a different list, use your own. Change these as you feel you want to. But here they are. I'm going to throw out a what I would call like the main buckets of importance. Social, meaning relationships, like those who have access to you, those who you show up for, who hopefully also show up for you. Health, meaning how you care for your physical body. Character, meaning the level of honesty and respect you have with you on you, including what you allow from others and like the treatment you allow from yourself. Intellectual / creative. And by this, I mean what you create with intention in your life. Maybe that's work, maybe that's family, just meaning what you build. And then last, physical design. And by that, I mean what you have built as the actual container, the environment that supports your mindset and your routine. And there might be way more than these. There probably are way more of than these, but I would also think about, like, some of them might have more priority for you, and some of them might have, you know, you might have totally different ones altogether. The reason I included this tool is I just wanted you to reflect upon your boat holes, because some of these can be quickly compromised. And if you scan through these things and you're like, oh, this one has been totally neglected, or this one has something that absolutely is not in alignment whatsoever, that's just an invitation to ask yourself, what would you like to further invest in? What do you want to tweak a little bit? Another way to examine this area is, what are your catalysts for identity? And by that, I mean, like, one factor can create all of the other factors in our quality or our like purity of life experience. And that is why I think it's super important to be ruthless in your boat hole plugs, because the boat will leak and the boat will fill with water. And when the water is just toxicity, it changes your entire quality of energy and entire quality of life. So if something in your life has been affecting you for a very long time, but it's not serving you, it should not be here anymore. And if there's a cornerstone habit that is causing a massive leak in just consistent experiences that bring you down, just become aware of that. Gently bring it to the forefront of your mind or your journal. And that is where all change begins, in just simple awareness. I'm not asking you to solve it, because from here we can't solve it. We can't jump to the end yet. From here we are just aware. And I will say, when we design a life that supports us, we live from that bountiful state of access, of openness, creativity, energy, love. The cup is flowing over. We have so much to give. That is a compassionate thing for all people in your life. All right, the next tool, the best of us. I wanted to call out to you what the bar is, or what I would gift you as, you're welcome, what I would gift you as my bar. But the bar for a life well lived is for you to have the ability to invest in something in your life that represents the depth of who you are in some shape or form. And by that, I mean, like, have a project that is so meaningful that you put all of yourself into it. And that could be anything. It could be with your kids. Maybe that's with your work. When we have a vision and we work very hard at that, when we can do that somewhere in our life, really go deep and put ourselves into it, that is, I would call, the sublime. That is enchantment. That is the most valuable thing in the world. And another word for it is art, but it doesn't have to be like literal art. It's something that is perfected from the soul. So how can we reach that depth? And we have to remember that that is a value. That experience is a value, because it feels like when we're not in that process, it feels like it's scary, hard, too hard. I don't want to do that. It feels draining when we're looking from the outside in. But when we're in it, it's like time evaporates and it feels like so worthy. It just feels like I made that. I did that. It gifts us such a feeling of worth and power. And so whatever it is, it could be different projects throughout your life. It could be one project that's periodically contributed to over a lifetime. But I think that's part of a life well lived. So I would invite you to ask, where am I investing my personal craft and energy? Like, what is my life's greatest project? What is your art that represents the depth of your pursuits? And another way to ask is, what is your identity catalyst in your life? It doesn't have to be something like, I wrote the very first dictionary, or it doesn't have to be something like insane. It could be something that is as simple as, I was such a good friend to people. I don't know. Whatever it is. Just wanted you to invite you to think about that. Because it does. It makes you feel so good to really put yourself into something and know that you're like doing your best with it, you know? Like, one of the things for me is just drawing cards. Like, knowing that I'm like, I mean this, and just like my level of attention and investment that I'm going to try really hard to make it original. That's something that like I'm very proud of in like the legacy I have created in just that practice. It's like, I'm proud of me in this area. And these next two tools, for some reason, watching the new Mission Impossible has inspired several tools, which I don't know why that is making me laugh so much, but it is. Okay. So the next tool, which is branded by Mission Impossible, is the new Mission Impossible great or terrible? So this tool is really, context is everything. The reason that became a theme in my mind is like, you could watch that movie with two different sets of context and it would change the entire movie. Like, is it ironic or is it not ironic? Is it meant to be this like hearkening to this specific genre or is it not? And I think how you view something really matters. And that interpretation really gives it its worth. So that is just a frame by which I'm offering you. Choose the highest meaning. Choose the right context, because this is how we default to our interpretation of our entire life story. You get to make the context. You get to create the rules for what that meaning is. Not culture, nobody else but you. So tell the right story about the design of your life and make sure that it's one that really is empowering, because it's like all are true, all are accurate. It really comes down to, am I defaulting to something that is positive and empowering, or am I defaulting to something that is negative? Okay. The next tool, a Mission Impossible tool as well, commitment is everything. So this was inspired by Mr. Tom Cruise. And I think one thing that is really interesting about Tom Cruise and actors like Tom Cruise is just the level, when you watch somebody like that, the level of investment in their energy is like part of what makes you invest in just them. It's like you can see that there is nothing being left on the table. They are going all in, fully invested, 1001%. And that in many ways creates how others experience you and your level of confidence, your presence of energy. So this tool is really to ask, how here are you? And how three-dimensional are you? How invested in you are you? And just your energy. And I think that, like, for us to be fully on and fully in wherever we are, in our words, meaning what we say, being completely present in how we offer ourselves to the world, really meaning our claims and our values and saying things unabashedly, that, I think, translates to our worth and our confidence on an energetic level in just how other people believe in us and really, you know, I think commands a level of respect. So whatever, however that interacts in your day, in your future, I just wanted to offer that up. Like, really think about energetically how invested, how standing with me am I in how I show up and how I claim what I'm saying and how I stand by myself in my own performance or delivery. And just really zero in on this as something we can dial up and further grow into. You know, I know that, like, if you're introverted or if you struggle with confidence, it's like those, I'm not saying like just throw those away, but like it, I think when we can really be like Tom Cruise, when we can really just like fuck the fear and go into, I'm gonna stand by me and be here and like expose my heart. People, I think, see it from a mile away and they're just enchanted by it. It's like we just, it's like we're thirsty for that energy in other people. It just feels healing and exciting and attractive just to see vulnerability and authenticity. It's just like a life force in the world. So those are my tools. I hope you enjoyed them. Before I close, I want to thank my latest sponsors, Anisha. Thank you so very much. Such a generous donation. And Rachel, thank you so much. Such a generous donation. Appreciate all of the donations and the Patreons so much. If you have the means, donations really help out this show. I mean, if you don't have the means, I totally understand. If you could share it with someone that it could help, that helps me as well. And if you do want to make a donation, you could head to yaywithme.com and click donate, or you can head to my page on Patreon. So in closing, just like lighting is everything, energy is everything. I don't know if you've ever had this experience of like putting a nice warm fixture in a room where there's like a shade on it. It can like make the room feel so appealing and designed and elegant versus an overhead fluorescent light. It makes it feel hostile or sterile or ugly. Same thing goes for just your emotional state and your energetic state and your default leanings. They color in all of your life experiences. And just know that we create the energy of the world. According to the one of the Nobel Peace Prize winners who tackled misinformation in particular, the only thing that spreads faster than hate is inspiration. And that is because I think all of us just, we thrive on it. We seek it out like air. When you have a loving state of energy, you are the most helpful to the world and everyone in it. So just really see your own power and know that when you become vulnerable with others, when you become authentic with others, when you connect to others and appreciate them, you become like a magician. You can move so much. You can move mountains. I think you can change the course of history. And I don't mean that in a jokey sense. I mean that for real. Like, these are the types of experiences and interactions that really do mean the most in defining how people feel about themselves, how strong they feel, how important they feel, their perspective of the world. And just think about like that taste or that residue that is left in your energy by the wrong lower vibration forms of interactions. Like when we make fun of somebody, we belittle someone, we spread information that you would not want to spread about, want to be spread about yourself. That these are all things that just make us feel like, I don't know, lower. It feels lower. So just, this is a reminder, keep it clean, keep it kind, and know that you are allowed to define what is right for you in your life. Nobody else, just you. And seek out what is truly of importance in your life. Like, genuine connection, I think, makes for such a more fruitful life. And vulnerability is a part of that. So putting the self into what you live and what you do. And without that, how fucking boring, right? Like, what's the point? Like, if you're going to exist in this, like, very superficial spectrum of, like, stuff, it's like, what's the point? So know that, like, yeah, it's scary at times to put yourself out there and be vulnerable and connect, but it's so worth it. And if you don't have it currently in your life, I invite you to set that as a goal in your mind's eye. It's just curating a sense of meaning and loving connection, and have that more so in your life moving forward. So I send so much love, and don't forget to smile.